Well, thank you so much, and thank you so much for that special. When you can't see his hand, trust his heart. And we know that God's heart is a very big heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is what motivates us and drives us as Christians. The love of Christ constraineth us. And I'm so grateful that he loves me. I'm so grateful he loves you. And I'm so grateful he loves the deaf. He tells us how much he loves. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And I want to take a few moments today to really look at the deaf, because that's our burden, that's our heart. As to mention, my name is Ben Muldoon. My lovely wife Marie is there in the third row. Wave. There you go. She's way more interesting than I am, so please come to the table in the back and visit with her. She was able to serve in Honduras for 3 years, and the Lord used her to train and mentor a hearing couple to start a deaf ministry, and they are doing a fantastic job in the midst of extreme COVID regulations in Honduras and 2 hurricanes. And they are still reaching the deaf with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's exciting. The deaf, how do you enter a world that's so different? And we, as hearing people, we just get information all the time. You know, from the time before we're born, we start to get little bits and pieces. And then after we're born, we're constantly, someone's, ooh, you know. We have a little one due in end of May, and we're very excited. And a little girl, so I'm not as excited because I'm terrified. I'm very thrilled to have our little one show up. But she's going to be exposed to information from the day she is born. And yet so many of the deaf do not have that. It's not until they're 7 or 8 is the average age where they even begin to learn language. That's 7 years of social and mental delay. They live in a silent world, in a silent community, and therefore they never really understand the hearing community around them. They identify very strongly with being deaf more than they identify with any other demographic or society or culture. Education is a challenge for them. It's estimated that 80% of the world's 70 million deaf have no access to education. This presents challenges because reading is difficult to begin with for a deaf person. We learn our first language, right, our hearing language, and then we learn to associate sounds with letters or symbols, right? Well, can a deaf person? No, and many words look similar. I mean, we get confused, and we could actually sound it out if we slowed down. How much more challenging would it be if you had never heard any of the sounds, and you had to just memorize this combination of symbols equated either an abstract or a concrete? It would be a challenge. And yet, when a deaf person gets a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that passion for the community, that love of truth takes over their lives. And the same passion that drives them to connect with this deaf community that they can relate with drives them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But no Christian is born just knowing how to do everything. I mean, the ability is there. I'm so grateful for the pianist. Been lovely, but she, being born with the ability to play, still needed developed. And we as believers are born with the ability to give the gospel clearly. We're born with the Spirit of God that enables us to live like Jesus Christ, dependent upon his grace, but yet we need trained. How do I study the Bible? How do I actually get something out of this? How do I pray? Like, more than just, you know, Lord, bless the food and bless the missionaries. Actually walk and talk with a living God who has revealed himself to us in the form of personality and can be known. So we, even as believers, born with the ability to know God, need to be nurtured and developed to know him better. And that's our burden in our heart for the deaf. Our desire is to go to Romania to be students and learners for the first several years, learners of language, learners of culture, learners of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are there, learners of Romanian sign language, because sign language is not universal. And then from that point to then establish a deaf church. So deaf men and deaf women who want to know more of a personal, vibrant, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ can be taught. And then they can be sent out to establish other deaf ministries and deaf churches for the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're so humbled by this opportunity, grateful for it. We don't take it lightly. Both of us have given years to training and being mentored, going through, myself going through a ministry apprenticeship at our sending church. Marie, like I mentioned, went through deputation round one and then got to Honduras. And now she's going through deputation round two. Why? Because it is a weighty calling. To be entrusted by you, by other churches, to be entrusted with men who are passionate and hungry to know truth better, to communicate it well, to say, thus says God, thus saith the Lord, not me. If we go and build our own kingdom and we go and build our own church, then, oh, I pray it falls. But if we go under his authority, we can be assured of going under his provision. And we get to then take truth and bring men along and train them for gospel ministry. Men like Dionisi Platon, a deaf Romanian who wants to be in full-time ministry, who asked 60 deaf leaders, where can I go to be trained? Who will disciple me? I want a man to disciple me in the things of the Word of God and in Christian living. And you know what they said? We don't know. There's nowhere we know that you could go. And that burns in my heart. On the back table, we have a sign-up sheet. Please, please sign up to get our prayer letters and pray for us. We have prayer cards. Take those prayer cards. Pray for us. The task is impossible in and of ourselves. And also on the back we have magnets, one per family. But the logo is significant. It's the sign for the verb of love, to love. There's different signs for love. You have the noun love, you have the love, like I love pizza. And then you have the verb form of love, action, direction, from one party to another, God loving us, us loving others. But as we show the love of God to the deaf in a language that they understand, then God will establish churches among the deaf. And God will establish local bodies of the deaf, and not just in Romania. But our goal is to bring men from Ukraine and Moldova and Bulgaria and Greece, Hungary and Austria and Poland, Belarus and Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania and Finland, Norway, Sweden, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Albania, Armenia, Georgia, Turkey, North Africa, Libya, Ethiopia. I could go on and on. And see these men come and be trained by a local body to then reproduce other local churches. That's the goal. Because we got a great, great commission by a great, great king. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we get to do. And that's what you get to do here. Our time's getting dark. Yes! Is the light supposed to shine all the brighter? Yes! What could be better than a time where we get to stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. This is the battle cry of missions. This is the battle cry of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you get to be part of here. And we get to be part of here and there. And this is the battle cry and the challenge for you, all of you. My dad was 61 years old when God called him into full-time missions. And he left everything and went to the bush in Papua New Guinea. You're never too old to serve Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here. I'm so grateful for my wife. At this time, she's going to come up and she'll sing and sign. So you'll be able to understand because she'll also use her voice. And then after that, I'll come back up and explain a little bit more of our plan and a little bit more of the death themselves.
Oh Lord, since thou hast died to give thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for thee. Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me.
consecrate my life, all the parts of my life, I give it to Jesus Christ. And I hope that's your prayer this morning. I hope that with her you could sing those words with honesty and sincerity in your heart. I am so humbled and honored to, in one sense, be a representative of the 1%. The 1% of the world's population, it's estimated, is profoundly deaf. A much larger number is hard of hearing. But those that are profoundly deaf means they were born sufficiently deaf that they cannot make any understanding of sound. The Lord tells us in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, he asked Moses the question, who made the deaf? In John 9, the disciples look at a man who's born blind and they said, well, who sinned, this guy or his parents? Which is that he was born blind. Have you ever like thought about that question? It's like, wait, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And what does Jesus say? No, you missed the point. He was born blind so that the glory of God, the works of God, would be manifest. You know, the deaf God made, the deaf God seeks to use to glorify his name. When I mentioned that they live in a silent community, it really is amazing how connected the deaf are. When you meet one deaf person, you actually have just met a whole community, because they know most of the other deaf in their area. Why is that? Well, think about it for a moment. If you were born deaf, 90% of deaf children who have hearing parents never can talk to their parents. Because 90% of hearing parents that have a deaf child never learn sign language. So there's no relationship with family. Marie had several instances in Honduras where she was the interpreter that gave a son the first time in years he could talk to his dad. Which is why it's so important when we go there to be learners of Romanian and Romanian culture. Why? Because we're going to be a bridge in many instances. Because of this, however, this isolation from the time they're born, for most of them, the majority of their lives, they find great connection because God made us for relationship. They find it with other deaf who understand, other deaf that they can communicate with. Why? Because you can't have relationship with someone you can't talk to. I mean, we know that if we don't spend time in the Word of God, if we don't spend time in prayer, we don't really have a vibrant relationship with God. If you don't talk to people among each other here at church, you don't really have a relationship with other people here at church. And so the deaf, in that drive and desire for relationship, they connect with other deaf. Another reason is because they share in common anger and bitterness. Why? Because they were told they were unlovable. Oh, you know the feeling. All of us know the feeling when we either try to be friends with someone or someone intentionally walks away or doesn't, you know, give us attention when we're trying to build a relationship. What's that feeling? That feeling of loneliness and isolation. We'll amplify that up. What if everyone in your family, in a sense, walked away? How would you feel? What would you think? And so, people that have common enemies often find common ground. And so that's an element of the deaf community and the deaf culture. It's interesting, I had one friend who was heavily involved in the deaf community, and he said, just like those that live in the far north have many different words for snow, because that's their whole life, the deaf have many different words for anger, because that's their life. This constant frustration and pushing against the world of the hearing and trying to get a voice and trying to be heard. Molestation of deaf kids is a much higher rate than molestation of hearing because the deaf don't have anyone to go to that would understand. And therefore, exposure to explicit sexual content is at a very early age. I had a camper when I worked as a deaf camp counselor who was probably 7, maybe 8, and I know for a fact he had been exposed to pornography. The social delay of about 7 to 8 years gives someone the impulsiveness of a 7 to 8 years old and the hormones of a teenager. Does that sound like a good combination? And you have a world that says it's fine. So this leads the deaf community into much higher percentages of homosexuality. Fewer and fewer deaf, if we think among the hearing, it's bad as far as people getting married and living together. It's much higher among the deaf community. But what's amazing is even in all those challenges, like I mentioned before, once a deaf person understands the truth of the gospel, that drive for community drives them to gather the deaf to hear the gospel. I'll never forget when I was with the mission team over in Liberia. We went to Liberia and went to the Ivory Coast on a mission trip, specifically to train deaf in doctrine, in education, so that they could teach and reach others. We were constantly, almost daily, more deaf were being brought to us. And then not only that, Andrew, the main leader of the deaf community there, the Christian deaf community, and 4 of his friends had started a deaf school because they knew that the deaf needed to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they didn't, I mean, their reading level was maybe 7th grade. But they knew something had to be done. So they did it. When we went to Monrovia, the capital city, they went and they gathered up all their deaf friends, and there was about 30 to 40 deaf that were gathered on a Sunday afternoon, and we were able to present the gospel 3 or 4 times. And there was a few that made professions of faith, others just came to better understanding of the gospel. But that drive leads them to reach out, leads them to bring in, because their whole life is about relationship to the other deaf. Their whole life is about community. Their whole life is about helping each other out. And so what an opportunity when we go and we give the gospel of Jesus Christ to the deaf and we train and we disciple and we mentor the deaf, they will reach out, because this is what you do. I think also of Andrew. He didn't just have a burden for the deaf. He had a burden for his family. While we were there, he went to our team leader and said, "Would you please come? I can't give the gospel to my parents. They don't know sign language. Would you come and be my interpreter? And would you come and help me give them the gospel?" He went to his house with Andrew, and they were able to lead several family members to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because a deaf man had a burden. Andrew's dead now. He died of malaria, about a year ago now, a year and a half. I have no doubt that when his ears were opened, what he heard was, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a thing to hear. The first thing you get to hear is Jesus Christ saying, "Well done." And that kind of puts us all to shame, though, right? Because here a deaf man had a burden to reach his family. Here a deaf man had a burden to reach his community, and he did something about it. And I can't help but wonder that God looks at Andrew and says, "Andrew, I'm using you as an example so that the works of God would be manifest, what could be done." Andrew had a burden and he did something about it. And I want to challenge you. Has God laid a burden on your heart for your family or a certain demographic or a certain age group or a certain region of this world even? Are you going to let the love of Christ constrain you to go? How many of you are breathing? Some of you aren't sure. Then you can still be used for the glory of God. And why not? The deaf, that they love to help each other out. We had the privilege up in Alaska. We were in a village of, I always forget, what, 13,000? 13,000. 13,000 people. Okay, there can't be deaf there, right? No, we met them. God just worked it out. We met Jason French and his wife. Jason had learned language at a very early age, about 3 years old. His wife hadn't learned sign language until she was in her 20s. The difference between them was so clear. Jason could hold discourse. Jason could read and comprehend very well for a deaf person. We actually got into a theological debate between Jason and I about Calvinism and not Calvinism. In case you're wondering, I'm not a Calvinist. So that just, I'm going to throw that one out there, so now you know. But he could debate and he could interact very well with the hearing world and with English. But then it was interesting, his wife couldn't. She couldn't read. She was very hard to have a full conversation with. And very hard to, like, get her to keep moving along in a conversation, as opposed to getting stuck on the few things that she could sign really well. But as we interpreted for him, he came to several services, him and his wife. He at one point even walked there because he lived about 15, 20 minutes walk away, maybe longer, but at least that. And they came, and as we would interpret, my wife and I had the privilege of interpreting. If she didn't understand, he would look over to her and he would adjust the signs so that she could follow. And it was amazing to watch this drive to make sure that the other deaf was with us. You know, and that's why our burden and our passion is to train leaders, those that are educated, that can read, that can communicate and hold discourse, because it will trickle down. Because remember, that drive for community, that drive for helping each other along, that drive to, we're in this together. And that means we're in this, the Christian life together. It's interesting, a passage that has really impacted my philosophy of ministry and definitely my philosophy of missions is in Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible tells us, and he, Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets. We know those gifts were part of the foundation because of the end of Ephesians chapter 2. And then he goes on, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mutual edification of growing believers is what should bind us to each other. And one of the huge strengths, and sometimes a huge weakness of the deaf community, because they'll give a pass for sin, but once they get hold of truth, one of the incredible strengths of the deaf community and the deaf culture is that they will be actively involved to help others in bringing them along. And it's such a privilege and an honor to be part of their community. But there's a tongue-in-cheek phrase, the deaf only know what they've been told. We had the privilege of visiting with a deaf man who was going to be a church planter in Philadelphia. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. I know there's a rivalry. I'm sorry I just entered into it. Forgive me. But he's going to plant a deaf church in Philadelphia. And we were able to sit down and visit with him, and it was a wonderful time of fellowship. But one of the things that came up was the reality that many deaf do not know their family's religion. So they'll claim it, but they have no idea what it means. We have our mentor and missionary church planner that planted two churches down in Brazil, one hearing and one deaf, and is now our director. When he was down in Brazil, he met many deaf that would go regularly and faithfully to the Catholic Church. But they see the pictures, and that was it. They just knew they were supposed to do that. This church planter, Matt Dundon, he has met Muslim who don't know what it means to be Muslim, but they're Muslim because their family's Muslim. And so what an opportunity to show the love of God in a language they understand, to communicate the word of God in a language they understand, to take the time, and it does take time, it takes a lot of time. What you can cover with a hearing crowd, usually about one-third to one-half is what you can cover accurately and well to a deaf group. It's slow. There's obstacles. There's the mental handicap merely of not being used for so many years. They've done studies and they found that the mind aspect is a muscle. And so if it's not used, it's like, you know, taking a baby and tying its arm to its side. Well, the longer we leave that arm tied to the child's side, the less likely it is for that child to ever be able to use their arm. Well, that's very similar to the deaf with their mind. The mind needs language to think. You actually think with language. So all of you are processing the information I'm giving you by thinking through it with words and pictures and ideas, right? Well, they've done studies and they found that the longer a person goes without language to process, to think with, the more signs they show of mental handicap and mental retardation. They get to a point where they cannot think. You're like, yeah, my teenager's like that. No. Your teenager can think. There's just lots of other factors going on. Well, some of them can think. I can't vouch for all of them. But they truly cannot use the muscle of the mind. So do we just leave them? Well, it's hard. Well, of course it's hard. If it were easy, everyone would be in deaf missions. Because we love easy. But again, there was one of the five deaf men over in Africa. You could just tell. He was one of those guys that just really wanted to be involved. But he got saved. Oh, man, he got saved. He got it. And he was passionate, and he was just a little parrot, you know, for the most part, of what the other guys would say. But it was real. And he stuck with it, and he endured. And he wanted to know, and he would throw himself into it. And he didn't get as much as Andrew and Simeon, who had learned language at a very early age, but he got what he needed. And he was passionate about other deaf and reaching other deaf and connecting with other deaf. My wife, Marie, knows a couple. The husband is probably one of the most brilliant deaf people I've ever met. He's the only deaf man to have received a doctorate in the country of Honduras. But his wife, on the other hand, very, very different story. And yet she's starting to really get it. And she's starting to ask questions. And the wife of the couple that Marie mentored and trained is having regular weekly Bible studies with her. And she's beginning to really ask good questions. And this is taking hours upon hours upon hours. And it's probably going to take several more hours. But is it worth it? Yeah. It's worth it. During the Cold War, the CIA really developed a lot of the techniques they used in spying. It's actually interesting, as far as technology, the KGB KGB was way ahead of the CIA at the beginning of the Cold War. However, the Americans were pushed to develop, but they also really developed a lot of techniques that we see in spy movies, disguises and ways to avoid someone that's watching you and then come back before they get too nervous and go hunting for you. Many of the techniques of dropping information at a place that, you know, and it was an open place where it could easily be picked up, but it was hidden in plain sight, was developed during that time. But it was interesting because a book I was reading on the topic dealt with the fact of the character, the type of person that made a good spy. I thought it was interesting because they talked about the fact that this person had to be charismatic and dynamic and personable and friendly, but at the same time they had to be intelligent and driven and thoughtful and willing to succeed in anonymity with no one knowing what they did. Where if they succeeded, at best, they would be brought into an office, given a handshake and a pat on the back, and their file closed and sealed. And as I read that, I couldn't help but think, no, Lord, that's really the kind of person you use. Someone that, if they threw their energy and their discipline and their effort into this world, would have it all made. Would be praised and applauded because they had the drive to complete difficult tasks, the character to stick with it, the intelligence to work with people, many different kind of people, the flexibility to adapt to cultures and situations, the discernment and the intelligence to throw themselves upon information and to process it, analyze it, synthesize it, and apply it. I mean, wouldn't you want someone like that working for you? And yet, God calls those and says, in silence, there'll be no accolades on this world. The world won't applaud you. The world will say you're throwing your life away. Is it worth it? Yeah. It's worth it. Why? Because in the very familiar Great Commission, how does it end? And lo, I am with you always. Wow. He is with me. When we go, we are assured he is there. When we obey, we are assured he is with us. And aren't many of us grateful that, oh, he's so long-suffering. In the days we allow fear or discouragement or pride or arrogance, or a lack of concern for the lost and dying around us, he is still there to convict us and to challenge us and to rebuke us and to reprove us and to exhort us and to bring us back to a passionate pursuit of his mission of reaching a dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, of letting them know he who is holy loves. Because he loves, he came and he died. And because he is holy, he died righteously, the righteous for the unrighteous. And he proved it by his power, by raising from the dead. And he proved his authority by telling us, go! And until you and I are retired to go home, we bear the burden and the weight of responsibility to be obedient to he who has sent us. Whether that is here or there, whether that's hearing or deaf, whether it's young or old. Because we know He is with us. We couldn't do it. If you're wondering if Marie and I are capable, and that's how you're going to decide whether or not to take us on, you shouldn't take us on. We are not sufficient of these things in ourselves. Who is? The treasures of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the reality of helping men come along and grow in their Christ-likeness. Who is? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Seeing then that we have obtained mercy, we pursue this ministry. Because looking at Him and His incredible love for me, looking at Him and His incredible authority in my life, looking at Him and realizing that I will stand before Him and give account for what I valued and what I pursued, how could I not wake up every day and say, God, by Your grace alone, by Your help alone, I will live today in obedience to You, and I will make You my great priority. And Your mission of reaching others is going to be my mission. Only by Your grace and because You are with me. And I want to challenge you today with two thoughts. Number one, when's the last time you said, here's my life, whatever you want with it, wherever, whenever, whoever, here's my life. You will be my priority. And number two, there is not a missionary out there who doesn't want more help. And I don't care if you're 10, 12, 13, or 65, or 72, or 83. When's the last time you said, God, would You let me go? Could I be one of those that are never applauded by the world, but when I get to heaven, I'll hear very clearly, well done? Could I be one of those that go into my workplace? Would You grant me the grace to see coworkers get saved? Lord, the burden You've placed on my heart for this region or this country or this people group or this age group, would You help me reach them? Would You help me do something? Or have you forgotten the love of Christ that gave up His riches for you? And are you willing to do the same for Him? Pastor Tim, come in close, however you see fit.
Thank you, Ben. Be sure to stop by their table at the back as you go out. At this time, we'll have the men come forward for our special offering for the Muldoons.